Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Scotto covers the Knicks for The Athletic. He joins us now. Michael, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Pleasure to be on with you. How you doing?
Good, thank you. All right. We got a new coach. We got a new lineup. We got a lot of changes. We got new faces. We got no Porzingis. Let's start with the coach. My hope is, and I've met and talked with him a couple of times. I've sat with him and talked with him a couple of times. What I'd say is that I like the idea of the direct descendant from Riley in that two things you know. Defense and conditioning are going to be there. That's the good part. The bad part is they better play defense because they have no team and they don't have a great lineup. What's your overall thought of the coach so far?
Well, Mike, when you were mentioning that there's a new coach, new players, and new this and new that, the first thing I wanted to respond with, well, we're probably still going to have the same results where they're not going to win a lot this year. And, you know, once you lose Porzingis for a predominant portion of the year, you're going to expect that. But for the Knicks, this year is all about developing guys like Kevin Knox, Frank Ntilikina, Mitchell Robinson, and et cetera. In terms of David Fizdale, I think he's going to bring a little bit more of an accountability. The fact that he didn't start Kevin Knox here kind of shows that he didn't play as well in the preseason as the team would have liked. He struggled with his jump shot a little bit. So giving Frank Ntilikina the start kind of shows that you really are going to have to earn your role with this team no matter what your contract is or where you were drafted. And I do think that there is something to be said for that. So, you know, and you even see this too, you know, you mentioned about coming from the Pat Riley regime. You see this with the Knicks and Nets right now where they're both emphasizing culture. They're not going to win a ton of games, so they're trying to emphasize that and what's to come down the road.
But he's going to be a conditioning freak, at least that's what he was saying. And that's something that, you know, going back to when Riley was here, I saw firsthand many times. I was, you know, we did our show from practice and from before games many times, and he killed that team from a conditioning standpoint. I mean, just he did not like body fat. I mean, he was a freak about it. Do you get the idea that this team is in shape where they're really going to have any kind of edge, where they are in really good shape as far as that goes?
I do think that they're a young group overall, so I definitely think they're going to be in shape. And you're not going to see the Patrick Ewing ice bags after games. It's a little bit different team right now, but they're definitely trying to get more up and down and use their length and athleticism. That's one of the a few attractive things that the team can boast out there when they put any different lineup combination out there.
All right, you mentioned Knox not starting and Ntilikina at playing at the three, as a matter of fact. Now, he's got long arms. He can defend. Let's go through them one by one, and let's talk about who is starting and why. Let's start at the point.
Well, with Trey Burke, I mean, you're looking at a guy that showed last year that he can be a competent point guard. And, you know, it's funny, ever since he kind of changed his hair to this Allen Iverson style, he's become more of a scoring point guard. He was never that when he was with the Utah Jazz way back when. He's just shown an ability to be aggressive and score the ball. And then Tim Hardaway Jr., who's
we're going to have to watch him take 9 trillion shots every game, unfortunately. His 3 for 17s, I can't stand. I don't mean to be really negative towards him, but I got it for a second. First of all, the contract's ridiculous. Secondly, I can't stand watching him go 3 for 19 from the floor. I mean, I just can't stand it. It just drives me mad. And there's too many nights when he does, you know?
Well, there's certainly the old saying for Tim Hardaway Jr. is he never met a shot he didn't
absolutely
like.
He
definitely is a guy that has
a
green light.
You know? Yeah, and he doesn't make enough of them. That's the problem. I mean, I don't mind a guy who shoots, but, you know, there are guys who shoot, but at least they make shots. He takes a million shots, and he rarely – I mean, I understand there's a couple of games where he's had big scoring games, but he's not a great shooter.
Well, Mike, I would say an interesting comparison to him maybe on the court as opposed to off the court. He reminds me of J.R. Smith in a sense that he can get really hot quick, but he can be as cold as the Arctic at times too. So, you know, to your point, as you mentioned about taking a lot of jump shots, that's one of the reasons why you're going to see a guy like Frank Ntilikina in the starting lineup, though, as you mentioned, at three. He's a guy that brings more defense. He's a pass-first guy. Even when he was playing at the point guard or the shooting guard position, he was always more of a facilitator and a guy that focused on defense.
So are we done with him as a point now? We're done? Now we figured out he's not a point guard? Is that where we are now?
You know, I mean, in their eyes, they don't view him necessarily as that. He's the thing with Frank, and I think for a lot of people now, is it's kind of positionless basketball. We're trending towards that way. Even Tim Hardaway Jr., he may be listed at the two, but he's essentially just as much playing the three as Ntilikina. They have the same size. It's all about whoever you can guard on defense. And Frank can guard, you know, one through three in certain matchups.
But only one guy's going to have the point guard mentality, and Frank has never really shown a point guard mentality.
Right. When he was coming from overseas, that was his projected position just based on his size and his mentality of passing first. Trey Burke is going to handle that role for now. Yep. But, you know, ultimately, like, put it this way, there's no John Stockton on the New York Knicks.
No, we know that. That's for sure. All right. And then up front, where it doesn't get much better, go ahead.
Yeah, with Enes Kanter, you know, at center, I mean, you look at
At least he tried. You know, he's a hard cover for guys, although, you know what, you know, he can't, you know, the way the game is now, they can take him out of the game whenever they want, but he is a hard cover for anybody. He's going to score points.
Well, he's a double-double guy for sure. The biggest thing with him has always been defensively in the paint.
Right.
He's never shown an ability to be in a good shot blocker, and that's the one thing that the Knicks have asked of him to be more of. But he's an absolute 14 and 10 guy,
no question,
you know, on a nightly basis, and he's efficient around the rim.
He is very efficient around the rim. So he'll at least give you something offensively. He's going to give it up defensively, I agree. And plus, you know, they're going to mismatch him into you know, forever. We know that. So he's a problem there, you know. And, you know, and every team can take a big guy out of the mix anytime they want. But at least he can score. So we'll give him that. He can. And you're right. He's a double-double waiting to happen. He's going to be 16 and 12 or 16 and 10 every night.
Yeah, and then when you look at the rest of the group, you know, right now Lance Thomas is starting. He's kind of that veteran defensive presence guy.
Another good defensive player, good team guy. But to me, you know what Lance is? Lance is a nice ninth guy on a decent team is what he is, you know?
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, I mean, if he wasn't on the Knicks right now, he would, I would say, you know, 25 at least of the other teams around the league, he probably wouldn't be starting. But
no, he'd be a guy off the bench who can play some defense and, you know, give you 10 minutes or give you 12 minutes. That's what he should be.
He's definitely a guy that's kind of keeping the seat warm for Kevin Knox. I mean, eventually the four is going to be his position, and they're going to look to create that. You know, Kevin Knox has always been, even I've known Kevin Knox since high school, and one of the things he's always said that he wanted to be in the league was a 20-point-a-game scorer. Well, he's certainly going to have that opportunity in New York and have a green light, because they don't have a lot of playmakers on offense at the moment until Porzingis gets back. And one other guy I would just
say, Calipari told me that people are going to be shocked how good a shooter he is, that he's a much better shooter than people are making him out to be, that he is a much better scorer and much better shooter than people think.
I think Kevin Knox is a really good shooter from the elbow around the arc. And then the only thing is, I think for him, the biggest adjustment, and we see this with a lot of young guys coming from the college game, going from the college three-point line to taking those three or four steps back to the NBA line, it makes a dramatic difference.
Big difference.
If he gets stronger, he'll get an adjustment to that.
All right, how many guys are they going to play?
I mean, they're going to probably play, I would say, 9 guys, some nights 10. They don't. They're a team that doesn't have established guys as much as you would want on the bench. They're going to have to mix and match and try to find different combinations. But
and there really isn't any scoring punch on the bench, right? I mean, Knox is going to be the scoring punch, right?
Yeah, the way it's configured right now for opening night. And then the other guy I would say to keep an eye on, and some Knicks fans will know him, Mitch Robinson.
Let's talk about him for a second. He blocked every – I heard in Vegas he blocked every shot in sight. Why is he not playing more?
Well, one of the reasons he's not playing more, he's very foul-prone, and he's got to learn to be more disciplined. It's great that he could block shots, but sometimes getting off your feet too much, you can bite on pump fakes and you get caught. You know, the thing with him is he's got a 7'4" wingspan, and I think his standing reach is about 9'2". So you're talking about a guy with long arms that can protect the paint. I mean, he could be the first guy that could lead the league. If he plays put it this way, if he plays 25 minutes a night, he could be the first guy to lead the league in block shots off the bench since Manute Bol in the 80s.
He's that good a shot blocker, this kid.
In my opinion, yes. I mean, he's the type of guy that, you know, put it this way, he jumps so high he could touch the sky. He almost touches the clouds.
And now this guy, is he an iffy kid? He didn't really go to school. I mean, there were a lot of question marks about this kid. Is he an okay kid or is he a handful?
I mean, the thing with Mitch is like, sure, he went to college and then withdrew and he was out of basketball and for a year. But in terms of him as a person, he's not a bad person if you get to know him. But I'm certainly of the feeling that, you know, he needs good veteran presences around him to just guide him and keep him out of trouble. I don't think, you know, he's the type of guy that's necessarily going to be going out clubbing in the meatpacking district every night. And you know that as well as I do, being here in New York. That's a temptation for a lot of athletes. But I think he is a good kid. And from the conversations I've had with him and others, it's not that he's a bad kid. You just got to keep tabs on him and make sure that, you're bringing him along, because he's just needed guidance almost his whole life. When you look at the situation, rarely do you see a guy go to college, withdraw, and spend a year kind of training on his own. So he's been set back and needs to get brought back up to speed in a lot of areas. But his talent is first round caliber, and many scouts and executives around the league will tell you that.
We're talking with Michael Scott, who covers the Knicks for the Athletic. All right, what is the best thing, Mike, you can say about the Knicks as they start this year? Is it chemistry? Is it hard working? Is it defense? Is it the coach? What's the best thing you can – no Porzingis, so we know that. Mm-hmm. They're missing their one big player. They want to build a culture where they can attract free agents next year. They want to live this pipe dream that everybody wants to live, that Durant's coming here next year, which, I mean, I have no idea if he is or he isn't. I don't know Kevin Durant. So, but, I mean, that's the pipe dream everybody wants to live, that Durant's coming here next year. But all that aside, what's the best thing you could say about this team?
If you're a Knicks fan right now, the best thing you can say about this team is they're rebuilding and they're not doing it sort of halfway. You know, in years past, you would see them kind of do these patch jobs and make some veteran signings where this team was never bad enough to land a really high draft pick, other than the year that they got Porzingis. And even that year, the last couple of games of the year, they ended up winning and cost themselves a chance where they could have got Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, it didn't matter. They got Porzingis ultimately. But, you know, when you look at this team, I think if you're a fan of the New York Knicks, many people that I know in the area have always wanted them to kind of rebuild and tear it down and do it the right way. Well, you got what you asked for. They're not going to win a lot this year, but they're going to have a lot of young guys out there. Alonzo Trier as well, a guy that was on a two-way contract that could compete for a spot. There are some positive stories in here. It's just that overall, the team ultimately is not going to win any more than 30 games at the most, in my opinion.
All right, so hard work won't get them anything more than that. And that's their numbers in Vegas is 30 on the button for this year. Now, couple of guys, name guys. What are their roles? What's Moutier's role?
I think Moutier's trying to figure that out too. You know, Manuel Moutier is a guy that the biggest thing that's not allowed him to take a leap as a player is his lack of a jump shot.
He can't shoot. You know, he cannot shoot.
No. Yeah. And when he was in high school, this kid, Mike, I don't know if you saw him in high school, but this kid,
I know they raved about him. I mean, I had guys tell me this guy was going to be like one of the next great players. This was a name that people raved about.
He was a guy that was compared to John Wall athletically. And I remember in high school, he had a 180 reverse dunk in the Jordan Brand Classic. And kind of made me almost jump out of my seat. And then I haven't seen that same athleticism ever since he played overseas instead of going to college and then came into the NBA. It seemed like he kind of became a different player. So, I mean, for Moutier, it's like, you know, and the Knicks have a few of these guys. They also have, like, Noah Vonleh, who was right, a first-round pick a couple of years ago, Mario Hezonja. They're taking chances on guys that didn't fare well in other situations, and they're betting on their culture and their system being a fit for them and turning them into productive players and tapping into that potential when they were first drafted.
What about Courtney Lee?
I mean, Courtney Lee, at this point, you know.
I mean, what's is he even here?
Yeah, I mean, Courtney Lee is the type of guy that
he could be more useful on another team. I mean, why is he here?
Because they haven't been able to trade him yet.
I never thought, you know, he's not a bad player. He's not. He's, you put him on a right team, he can at least contribute. I don't know what his role is here.
On a playoff team or a title contender, he makes a difference with his three-point shooting and defense as a role player, certainly.
Yes.
You know, here he's almost kind of blocking some of the younger guys from getting minutes and getting a chance to see what they are. You know what Courtney Lee is. He's in his 30s.
Yep.
And, you know, I just would look for them by the trade deadline to really try to push to move him off the team.
I would think so.
Get back a pick.
Is Ron Baker still here, too? Is Ron Baker here?
Yeah, Ron Baker.
Is he, he's not playing at all, huh? He's not playing at all, is he?
No, they gave him, I think he's going to earn about $4.5 million this year, but he's not currently a part of the rotation, no.
Yeah, I saw the kid from Wichita playing on the Sixers last night, who I always liked, who was their point guard the last couple of years. Yeah, I mean, he's in the league now playing last night. I also watched Fultz play last night, except somebody better tell Fultz he's got a long way to go, boy, before he's ready to play in this league. Man, oh, man, what is he? I felt bad for him last night. I mean, I hadn't seen him, but he doesn't even look like he belongs, no less look like a first-round pick. I mean, it's amazing how bad he looks. I mean, he looked terrible last night.
The toughest thing for any young player, and especially a former number one pick like Fultz, is when your confidence is shattered because he was injured and he messed up his shoulder. He missed a lot of games. Just trying to get that rhythm back. You know, even you saw it with Gordon Hayward the other night.
Yeah, he looked rusty last night too. He did. Hayward looked rusty. I agree. He definitely did. He looked kind of rusty, which I expected. You know, and again, Hayward's a good player. He's not a great player. You know, Tatum could be a great player. Hayward's not a great player. He's a good player. He's a very nice player. But you know, but Fultz. I mean, that's a guy who was picked number one in the whole draft. I mean, he's not even good.
I mean, when he was coming out of college, this kid was electric. And, you know, as a playmaker, he could shoot threes and create off the dribble. He still has the ability to get into the lane. It's just that, you know, last year was such a mental block for him, just taking jump shots of any kind. He totally broke down his shot and reworked it with a trainer named Drew Hanlon over the summer. And, you know, it does look better, the form, but ultimately any time you completely restructure your shot, you're going to go through growing pains. And the Sixers know that. You know, they know
right.
that they have to play him, help him shake off that rust if they're going to be anything. He has to be the third star with Embiid.
I don't
and
see
ben
it.
Simmons
I think they're overrated. I think the Bucks are going past them this year. I think Toronto will be better. I think clearly the Celtics will be better, and I think the Bucks will be better. I don't love the Sixers. I think their backcourt's pretty weak. Let's talk about
Giannis
the Knicks.
Giannis is my MVP pick, actually.
Yeah, listen, he's unbelievable. He really is. I think they added some good pieces, too. But let's get back to the Knicks. Tell me this. What have you noticed? We're talking with Mike Scott, who covers the Knicks for The Athletic. Tell me, what have you noticed about the coach? How is the coach going to handle New York? How's he going to handle when they have a losing streak and everybody wants to kill him? I mean, how is he going to get through the season?
You know what's the funniest thing? When David Fizdale had his press conference here at Madison Square Garden when he got introduced, he walked outside the garden and they do the photo op. And a couple of fans walked up, you know, along the street and they were like, "All you got to do is win, Fizz. That's all you got to do." And you know what? It's going to be tough for him in the beginning. But nonetheless, with Fizz, he's got the personality and the charisma to deal with the media. That's half the battle as a coach for New York. You can ask Mike D'Antoni and many others before him about that. But he has the personality for it. And when they are, you know, losing, because it's probably going to happen, he's going to be stern and he's not going to pull any punches. He's not a guy that
Will he beat up his players publicly? Is he a guy who's going to beat up, give his players a hard time publicly? Or not? He's not that type of coach.
I would put it this way. He's going to first tell them behind closed doors, but if they don't get the message, you might see a shout-out or two.
Gotcha. You know, it's funny that you mention D'Antoni. Sometimes odd couplings. Knowing some of the things I know, I would have never expected D'Antoni with power having Carmelo back with them, because to say they didn't get along would be the understatement of a lifetime. I mean, that is a hard belief that they're back together again. It really that's a surprising one for me. It really is. Only because unless it got forced on him, and I thought he had more power there than that, because, boy, oh, boy, when he was here, to say they didn't get along would be a very, very big understatement.
Well, you know, time heals all wounds, and the GM, Daryl Morey, has always been a guy that goes after big names. And Carmelo Anthony, even at his age, I believe he's 34 now, Carmelo Anthony is still a big name. He could be the sixth man of the year if he embraces his role. He's still got the talent to be a
scorer. You know, he could be Vinny Johnson if he would accept that role where he played 24 minutes and score 18 points. He could be that guy. I don't see him embracing that role. I think he wants to be I think he still thinks he's an all-around star, and I think that's a hard thing for him to digest. I really do. So this team, back to this team for a second. You think 30s max. Who's going to be – is there a shining star? Is there anybody – is Knox going to make people happy? Is anybody here going to make people – well, there's no one else there I can even think of who would make people happy if it wasn't Knox. I mean, I don't even know who else would make people happy. Who's going to be the crowd favorite? I mean, I don't even know who's going to be the Hawthorne Wingo here. I mean, who's going to make the crowd at least have a little fun with this team?
I think certainly Kevin Knox is the guy who's going to be the name that really turns people's heads. But the guy who might steal New York's heart is Alonzo Trier. And I don't think a lot of people know of him because
he going to play?
Yeah, he's going to play. I mean, okay. He's already – look at it this way. Considering he's a guy that was on a two-way contract, don't be shocked if the Knicks convert him to a regular contract in the season. He killed it during the preseason. He's a scorer, which is what they need. They call
right, but this is a guy that's been – this guy's been – like people – some people love him. Some people think it's all a bunch of nonsense. Where are you on him?
I'm on him that he could be a good bench scorer for this team, which is what they need. They don't have a lot of it right now, so – that's what, and I think he plays hard. We've seen him make chase down blocks, and you know as well as I do, New York fans love a player that hustles and gives 110%. He will do that, and I think
he's got
Kevin
talent.
Knox will
Everybody
as well.
Says he's got ability, right? He does have ability.
He has great isolation scoring ability along the elbow, like right outside the foul line.
Right.
That's his bread and butter.
What have you seen from Knox? Give me your little scouting report that you've seen from him so far this year.
My feeling on Knox is he's just got to continue to get stronger, and I think he needs to get to the foul line a little bit more to get in the rhythm. Sometimes I'll see him take, mid-range jumpers, get a little out of rhythm. I think if he can get to the foul line first and, you know, see the ball go in the hoop at times, it's just amazing what the mental aspect of that can do. And other big-time scorers that have been in this league that are veterans, you know, have always told me that that's one way that they try to get rolling. So for Kevin Knox, that would be one thing I would like to see him do a little bit more of.
And how many minutes do you think Robinson's going to play a night?
I think he could get about 15, 20. I do. I mean, they don't have a guy who can do what he does. He's such a freak athlete, and anytime he's on the paint, you can go really small and play, you know, even four guards if you want. That's how big of an impact he has patrolling the paint.
Is this a team that's going to play up tempo? Are they going to play a controlled tempo? What's his deal with this team? I mean, they don't have a ton of offense. Is he going to try and limit possessions? Is he going to try and turn people over? What's he going to do? They're going to run.
They're going to run and gun because they have to use their youth and athleticism as best they can. And,
so they're
going to
play fast.
Yeah, they don't really have a choice. They don't have necessarily the playmakers to get it done in the half court as much as they can in transition. At least in transition, you can catch a team in a mismatch. You open up the game a little more that way. They're obviously trying to focus on defense and corralling rebounds. So if you do that, you should have more opportunities for those fast break possessions and get out in transition.
So they're going to ask Cantor to go up and down the court, huh?
That's what I'm expecting tonight. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, that should be interesting. What do you think? Let me ask you a little bit about the Eastern Conference. Are you the Celtics and then everybody else, or do you have a different idea?
I am absolutely the Celtics and everybody else because they're the deepest team. You can argue that they're so deep that they can give the Golden State Warriors a run for their money if they both make the finals.
I'd have to see that to believe it, but I wish it was true. Let's see if Cousins can ruin the team like I hope he can when he gets back. So, who do you have second, Toronto or somebody else?
I mean, right now, I think I still give it to Philly. I know Toronto has Kawhi, and I do think that they're a great regular season team. I just think in the playoffs, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to get over this mental hurdle. And I know a lot of it was LeBron over the years. But
well, also, a lot of it was DeRozan. You know, they asked him to be something he really wasn't, you know? I think that this guy's a better – this guy can handle the pressure more than DeRozan could. DeRozan really didn't handle it well.
Well, Kawhi, when he's healthy, is a top-five player in the
yes.
league. DeRozan yeah. was never that.
No, and they tried to bill him as that, and it wasn't really fair. I thought they put too much pressure on him. I thought they really did.
Equally for, you know, I know you mentioned about Kawhi Leonard and we talked about DeRozan. In the playoffs, Kyle Lowry is just as much an X factor for them at point guard.
No, he's got to score. I agree. He's got to score. Absolutely. And, you know, but they could be good. I think they could have a good season. I got to see how everybody meshes there. But and I like the Bucks. You like the Bucks a little bit, right?
Absolutely. Like I said, I think Giannis is an MVP candidate this season in the entire league. That's how good he is. And when you look at the rest of the team, they're going to have Bledsoe for a full year, and they added former net Brooke Lopez to stretch the floor. I thought that was a good move as well. So I expect them to take another step. And last thing I would say, Mike, on the East, I wouldn't count out I know a lot of people are sleeping on Indiana and Washington.
Right.
Indiana was a few minutes away from knocking out LeBron in the first round, and people don't talk about that very much.
Right.
But they improved their team and they improved their depth with guys like Doug McDermott over the summer.
They played well in that. They almost won that series. They did. Washington seems to me to be dysfunctional. You know, you hear all the stuff about this guy doesn't like this guy. This guy hates this guy. Seems like Wall, who I like, but it sounds like Wall fights with everybody.
I mean, Wall, you know, there's been friction between John Wall and Brad Beal in the backcourt in the past, and now you add Dwight Howard into the mix, and you pretty much put a blowtorch
the
fire.
That ruins any team for me. That's automatic disqualification for me when you bring him to the team. That's automatic. I dismiss the team as soon as he comes. To me, I can't stand the player. So, I mean, I just that's it. I'm done with the team when that happens. But I thought they were close, and it seemed to me he's fighting with the center last year, then he's fighting with Beal. I mean, it seems like they're just dysfunctional, that team.
No, you could definitely say that. I mean, on paper, they definitely have two all-stars, and Dwight's a guy that, you know, one day is going to be a Hall of Fame player when you look back at the rest of his stats. But you know, my thing with Dwight is if he could ever it's sort of like Carmelo. If Dwight could ever accept his role and be just a pick-and-roll guy, defend the rim, and just do that, then that's a huge difference. He still has the talent to be an all-star caliber player, just about mentally accepting his role.
Terrible. Who's better, Knicks and Nets this year?
I'm going to say the Nets this year.
Yeah, probably a little deeper, right? They're probably a little better quality player, and he's good at developing players too. Kenny's very good. He's going to be on with us tomorrow. He's good at developing players. He does a good job.
Well, the former Knicks assistant coach across the river has certainly been billed for that. And I mean, when you just look at the Nets, the biggest guy to keep an eye on, Mike, would be Caris LeVert. Everybody and their mother has been talking about this guy as the breakout player. You know, from teammates, executives on the team, etc. And I think he's going to be the guy to watch this year for that team.
Well, listen, thanks very much for coming on. Good luck. Enjoy opening night. And hopefully they, give you something to talk about and write about. So hopefully they don't drive you crazy and win 15 games this year.
Thanks, Mike. I'll be ready
with
my popcorn.
Thank you. All right. Michael Scott from The Athletic on the Knicks. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.